We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome in, everybody, to the CFB Nation All-America Podcast. I'm Bill Troche, Senior Editor at SportingNews.com, alongside Bill Bender, our National College Football writer, National Lacrosse writer, National Women's Basketball writer, Mr. Swiss Army Knife here at SportingNews.com. You can follow Bill on Twitter, BillBender92. You can follow me at Bill Troche. Keep an eye on the main Sporting News account at Sporting News. So, Bill, you are back from Cleveland. You've been in Columbus following some lacrosse stuff for us. That story published today. But today, you ready to get back and talk a little college football?
Well, it's my favorite time of year. You know, we get through right out of basketball, and, you know, the NCAA men's and women's tournament were both really fun. Had a chance to be in Cleveland and watch Caitlin Clark in South Carolina. And it's weird that that's still the story. It's like you got to see Caitlin Clark play. But, oh, yeah, you saw this awesome South Carolina team with Camilla Cardozo and Don Staley and domination. I think the men's and women's were about the same. Yeah. You know, just Big Ten team, great player, not enough to beat the powerhouse, though. And both tournaments shook out that way. Yeah, and if you, like you mentioned, at Sporting News, we have a feature for our Irish Breakdown listeners about Jordan Faison. Sun Bowl MVP, one of the leading scorers on their lacrosse team, and as somebody that's gotten into lacrosse over the last couple of years, he's amazing to watch because the footwork translates. He's one of the best athletes out there, and Marcus Freeman and Kevin Corrigan had thoughts about the way that – the best part about that story for me, Bill, is that these two coaches, one – Freeman, who's coaching a major college football program, not just – this isn't like a Division III school.
High pressure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Kevin Corrigan, who has been doing this forever, 30-plus years, just won a national title, and they're basically sharing this talented piece on both teams, and it's a really fun story. And a reminder that my PSA is always, as somebody with two kids, is the thing we always say in our house is – I tell my kids, play these sports as long as play these sports until they tell you you can't play them anymore, and play as many as you can. And I think Jordan Faison's a great example of that.
No one's told him to stop yet.
Right. Neither one of those guys has, and they're going to keep promoting it. And you and I talked about it. You obviously have an interest in lacrosse too. The two-way lacrosse football star, I'm surprised there aren't more of them, because the sport translates well. Football translates to lacrosse the way it's open. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to cut. You got to be smart to play it. You know, you're a Patriots guy. Chris Hogan was really the last one that got a lot of run both ways. But I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years we're talking about Jordan as a PLL guy or an NFL guy. And that's really fascinating to me.
It was fun. I watched the Duke played Notre Dame in lacrosse this weekend, a rematch of the national championship game from last year. It was at Duke. Notre Dame ended up winning. Very good game. And I was watching Faison for the first time. And he really was a north-south dodger. And, you know, his stick skills weren't as good as the elite stick skill guys for Notre Dame. But the athleticism and the hitting the hole kind of thing, like, he is not a east-west dodger. He goes north-south like he's on the football field. And you can see, like you said, the athleticism translate. It was fun to watch. And I think he's got a bright future in both sports. Like, he's there, right? But he's not at the top of either one of them. But, like, as a true freshman, he's got room to grow. And it's really exciting for Notre Dame, for both programs.
Well, I think from the football piece too, new offensive coordinator, and Marcus, when I talked to Marcus Freeman about it, his just openness about it. And that's a university where, here's one thing I noticed when I went to that game when they played Ohio State, is afterwards you heard the trainer saying, you know, how did the women do? They were talking about the women's basketball team at the time. You know, that school, they're tight. They root for each other. And I laughed when I asked Marcus Freeman, I said, well, how much did you know about lacrosse before you came to Notre Dame? He goes, zero. Absolutely zero. But he goes, now I'm learning it by going. And he said, you understand some of the complexities of this. And it was a fun interview with Marcus. It was fun with Kevin Corrigan, because I'm into lacrosse now, when Kevin Corrigan would say a lacrosse term, I wasn't like, what does that mean? I actually know what X is. I actually know what channeling means. So it was fun. And I would encourage the, like I said, not just our Irish listeners, but everybody to read that one.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Should my Troche trivia be, how many people besides Jordan Faison and Bill Bender saw Ohio State and Notre Dame compete in both football and lacrosse?
Yeah, I mean, very, very small amount of people. Well, and Buckner probably. But no, Buckner was at Alabama then. So, yeah, fun story, fun. And, you know, lacrosse is – it's coming. You know, the tournament is going to be here in weeks. I know there's been growth in the Midwest. And, you know, with that Big Ten, ACC, some of the realignment stuff, I've always kind of cheated, Bill, and said – and bring North Carolina and Duke up to the Big Ten. Then we got a super, and Virginia. Then we got, like, not only a great football, but some of those lacrosse teams up there. And as you know, it's a different world. It's a little bit different on the East Coast, but they're growing it here in the Midwest. There's no question. I got a son in the goal and a daughter playing midfield. So we're on those lacrosse fields all the time.
There you go. So, all right, well, we'll talk some college football. Today we're going to talk quarterbacks. We are ranking the 2024 quarterbacks in the ACC and the SEC this week at sportingnews.com. Those are both out. We're going to rank the Big 10 and the Big 12 next week. We'll talk about those on the podcast next week as to how everything's looking. You did the SEC rankings. I did the ACC rankings. And we'll kind of go through that. So my Trochi trivia question is going to be, it might be an easy one for you because you did the SEC rankings, but I saw a fun fact that that I wanted to see if you knew the answer to. So the Trochi trivia question is, and we don't have to revisit the end of the show because we're going to go through the quarterbacks now, I guess. But Jaden Daniels obviously led the SEC in passing touchdowns by far. Who was number two?
I'm stuck because I know I looked at this and I already forget. So I'm going to take a stab. Are they coming back?
No.
Okay. I probably figure it out from there.
So anyway, we can revisit at the end of the show if you want. Yeah, because he's not coming back.
I think I got it.
We probably now that you told me. All right. So we'll revisit at the end of the show. Who finished second in the SEC behind Heisman winner Jaden Daniels in touchdown passes? So, all right, we can just start with the SEC since we're talking SEC right now. You had a debate, I would imagine, at number one between Mr. Quinn Ewers from Texas and Mr. Carson Beck from Georgia. I saw some way too early, you know, everybody does the way too early top 25s now. I've started to see some way too early All-America teams. And I saw Carson Beck as a lot of the choices for the first team quarterback. But you went with Quinn Ewers. So talk about how you figured out your number one for the SEC.
I thought we were doing the room. So, like, the Texas quarterback room to me is better than Georgia. And I would still take Ewers over Beck. So
that's what I figured.
Yeah. So, like, to me, it's the situation. Like, so if Ewers goes down, you have Arch Manning. You have a five. The room with Beck, pretty strong. And that's a toss-up. So it's weird to think that Texas, this school that's coming into the they also made the playoff and Georgia didn't. They have a first-round pick coming back at quarterback. They're going into a new conference. 2 years ago, we were worried that Texas wouldn't be prepared to come into the SEC, and I could make a very strong case that they should be favored to win the SEC coming in year one. And or they'll at least – be able to play for it. So super talented roster, good quarterback. SEC quarterback rooms are good. It was in past years I've done this and you've kind of like had to talk yourself through it.
Definitely. Yeah.
Five of the top seven leaders in passing yards are back. And three of the last five Heisman Trophy winners have been SEC quarterbacks. So I remember 5-6 years ago, we were piecing together quarterback rooms in the SEC. Now it's a strength.
Yes, it's very strong. So here's my thing on Ewers is, you know, I don't know how much of a fan you are of QBR necessarily, but I think it's a decent barometer of, you know, a rating. I'm not sure, you know, exactly how it works, but obviously they take into account yards per attempt and completion percentage and interceptions and sacks and everything like that. But his three best QBR games were the Big 12 championship game. Then he had a September game at Baylor and then a September game at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that's three games on the road or basically away from home, big game, especially obviously Alabama in the Big 12 championship game. Wasn't as high against Washington in the college football playoff, although he rallied the team late, but he had a lot of incompletions in that game. He had 19 incompletions in that game, but that tells you he rises to the occasion to me, like especially that game at Alabama. He played really well, and that was as big a game as he had played in his career up to that point.
Right, and you know, there are a couple times he'll throw a pass that you're like, what was that? What was that release? Where is he throwing that? He'll mess a few, but he's made a lot more, and I think it's the maturity that you've seen from him, which Steve Sarkisian talked about last year. There's no mullet anymore. There's no nonsense around him. He's all ball. He's very, you know, and the whole Arch Manning situation, he's tutoring basically and getting Arch ready for when Quinn's gone. And that's why I think that gives me the edge for them is to me, when I did these rooms, it's not just one guy. Like you look at Georgia, they lose Brock Vandegrift to the portal. He goes to Kentucky. That's one other thing, like quick aside, if you want to read these stories, the best reason to do it is you get caught up essentially on who all these guys, where all these guys went. And, you know, I think
Bill and Rayola bolted their room too. So,
right. So, yeah. I mean, Gunnar Stockton's there and they, but Carson Beck coming back was huge for them. One of the huge returns. And then, of course, Alabama at three with Jalen Milroe. I mean, some people go, why do you have him so high? Well, went to the playoff last year, carried them, and he not getting in the portal was huge for, I think, Kalen DeBoer. So one other theme with those real quick, a lot of first-year starters were excited about. Jackson Arnold, Nico Yamaliba, you know, those are the type of guys. Connor Wigman, he's played some, but the upside's still there with Mike Elko and A&M. So it's a fun list to put together, not an easy list, but I can tell you right now, we'll do the Big Ten one next week. It's a lot. The Big Ten one's definitely not easy, and it's a little – it's not easy on the eyes in some spots.
Let's go back to Milroe. How did you kind of evaluate him? Because I went back – in my mind, he's not in the class of Beck and Ewers, and he was going to be in the next tier for sure. Maybe Jackson Dart's better. Maybe Brady Cook from Missouri. I might take him over Jalen Milroe. But I went back and looked at the numbers. They are pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't look great against Michigan. Had a chance to kind of step on the neck and couldn't do it. And they had ended up costing them. I didn't trust him to kind of lead them back to a victory like J.J. McCarthy did, you know, for Michigan. Like, I don't know that Jalen Milroe is going to drive you 80 yards when he has to. Although – he did it against Auburn. I mean, that was a miracle play, but it was still a great pass. Like, he threw a great, athletic, strong-armed pass. I mean, it was a low-percentage play, needless to say, but you got to give him some credit for that, and it was obviously clutch. So was he a hard one to pick, like, where to put on this list? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because you could say, make a case for Jackson Dart. You could make a case for Brady Cook, who has 27 starts and is one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the conference, not to mention led them to a Cotton Bowl victory against Ohio State. But I think Milroe, I mean, in college, you always have to factor and maybe overvalue on some level the rushing yards a quarterback provides. And he'll get you those, and he'll get some touchdowns. I know our last impression of him isn't great. It's a lot of Michigan guys sacking him. It's him going down on the final play of the Rose Bowl. But again, I think in 10 years, we're going to look back at that Michigan defense when those guys do their thing at the next level and be like, wow, Michigan had all those guys. So, yeah, I think he's fine where he's at. And huge year for him, because we're going to find out what it looks like with Washington's old coach, Kalen DeBoer.
You touched on the two freshmen that were excited about, Nico and Jackson Arnold. Jackson Arnold, of course, at Oklahoma. Taking over for Dylan Gabriel, who transferred to Oregon. Nico comes in after 1 year with Joe Milton at Tennessee. He had that great performance in the bowl game against Iowa, 35-0, I think it was, for the Vols. He played good. He's hyped. He's the NIL man, the original NIL man. Rumors of the $8 million four-year contract or whatever it was that the Athletic had their hands on the contract. How did you evaluate, like, you know, we haven't seen either one of them really on the field too much, but you liked Nico, I think, ahead of Jackson Arnold. Maybe Josh Heupel's history played into that a little bit. I don't know.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it'll be interesting when they play, because we're going to tie Heupel into that. And Arnold, limited sample, looked good. Bowl game, it took a minute for him to settle in. I mean, Nico obviously had a better bowl game. And I would even rope Garrett Nussmeier into this conversation. He's waited his turn at LSU. He had an awesome game in the bowl game against Wisconsin. So those three, and all of them, all of those teams will be ranked. So, like, which one has that breakout? I mean, really it comes down to the one of those three that has the breakout season is probably going to be playing in the playoff. And the other two that aren't as good as that guy might be out on the outside looking in. So that's why those three are so important. And obviously, when you go through these lists, that's the fascinating thing to me, is kind of spotting that breakout player. And of the three, probably trust Jackson Arnold the most, but it's close with Nico. I mean, I trust Nico more, sorry. maybe that's that Josh Heupel quarterback friendly offense. But they do play, and I'm excited to watch that matchup.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
So one guy, I mean, we've touched on all the major guys, but one guy I thought you kind of shortchanged was Blake Shapen, Mississippi State. You had him down at number
12.
He's got good numbers. 36 touchdowns, 13 interceptions in 3 years. He's experienced. I don't know. I just think Peyton Thorne, Graham Mertz, like, I don't, you know.
Right.
Neither of those guys have shown. They haven't shown what Shapen has shown yet. I don't know if you don't like Mississippi State's talent around him or whatever, but I don't know. I just explain yourself, Bill Bender. Explain yourself.
I mean, they're all close, but Thorne and Mertz have had a year. When you transfer quarterbacks, transfer quarterback, new coach, and second I do year. Like Levy, you want that second year. And Graham Mertz started to show it at the end of last year. Peyton Thorne, I get it. You know, like not, he may not even start there. You never know. But having a new coach, a new quarterback, I do like Blake too. But I mean, all of those guys at the bottom are about the same. I mean, the other one I struggled with, honestly, was Lenora Sellers, South Carolina guy. Wears goggles. Might be the Robbie Avila of college football next year. They like him, but he hasn't played. So, I mean, that's one of the things you have to account for when you do these things.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. Let's move on to the ACC rankings. I ran them by you, I think, last week. But some big-time transfers in this quarterback, in this conference, same as last year, where there were, I don't know, 8 or 9. The one stat that jumped out to me is there's 9 transfers coming in. 7 have started at least 20 games somewhere else, and now they're going to be new into the ACC with the Cam Ward and the DJU. And now for these purposes, we are lumping Notre Dame into this discussion,
right?
Because we want to touch on Notre Dame. Riley Leonard is another guy, 20 starts somewhere else. Now he's at a new school. So a lot of interesting situations. And like we've talked about, you just said it, the second year usually is the best year. A lot of these ACC schools are counting on the first year to be the best year, especially at Miami and Florida State.
6 of the top 7 are transfers. And that's what it really, when you take on this list, you did a nice job, because it is tough when you're like, Cam Ward's played a lot of football. Grayson McCall's played a ton of football. And, you know, when you play transfer roulette, this conference seems to bring in, I don't have any factual material on this, but they seem to bring in the most.
Absolutely. Right? They did. I mean, last, you know, 2 years for sure.
At least, yeah, like you get confused because you're like, wait, isn't Brennan Armstrong Virginia's all-time leading passer? What is he doing on that team? I believe he was on NC State last year.
Right. And,
Max Johnson, you can take it all the way down to him. I mean, he's played a ton of football. So that's good from an experience standpoint. You'll see some efficient quarterback play, I would imagine. I might have gone Riley Leonard 1, but I get it with Cam Ward, because I think with Ward, the thing I keep telling people is he did this at Washington State without a running game.
Yeah.
They should have a decent running game at Miami. He'll have more talent around him. And I like the upside pick there, no doubt.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with Leonard because he had such a limited season last year, and now he's coming into a new situation. But they've got a great new offensive coordinator who did wonders with Jaden Daniels, obviously. The wide receiver room is improving. We'll see what happens with Jordan Faison and Riley Leonard together there at Notre Dame. So I believed in, you know, Cam put up some serious numbers. He was fourth in the nation in passing last year. He was in high demand. I know Notre Dame focused on Leonard right away. He's got the running ability that Sam Hartman didn't have. And interesting, when you talk about quarterback roulette and everything like that, like Notre Dame, they went with the one-year transfer with Jack Cohen, the one-year transfer with Sam Hartman, now a one-year transfer with Riley Leonard. It's crazy that they keep doing this because Riley burned his redshirt that freshman year. This is his fourth year playing. He doesn't have a redshirt opportunity. He doesn't have the COVID year opportunity. So this is going to be a one and done for Leonard. And then DJU, I mean, again, like we've seen him enough, the highs and the lows. I put him number three with Florida State. And, you know, I think, no, sorry, I had him four. I had Haynes King third, Georgia Tech. And then I had DJU fourth at Florida State, 40 career starts. But he comes into a situation where Florida State's really rebuilding. I mean, you saw how many guys exited before the Orange Bowl last year. So there's going to be some unfamiliarity, which kind of leads to an intriguing week zero with Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech has a ton of guys back. They've got their quarterback back. It's a weird game out in Ireland. Like, be aware that Georgia Tech, Florida State, that's a big one, actually, in week zero.
I mean, looking at your top four, I mean, there is a case that Haynes King is, and you can go more into this, that he could be the top quarterback in the conference. And you spoke with them, right? Like, I mean, I could let you take that away. Like, what did you take away from him and this coaching staff? I watched him in the bowl game pretty close, and – there's a nice mix of, we talked about it. He's an efficient passer. He gets the ball out on time, and he offers something in the running game with his scrambling. So, and it's, I think he's just a very smart quarterback. I don't know what your takeaways were, but I think there's a case for him to be number one.
Yeah, he was terrific. So I got the opportunity to go down to Georgia Tech and sit with him in Brent Key's office for a while, get to know him. I talked to his dad. I talked to some people in Longview, Texas, where he was a Texas high school legend. He won a state championship with his dad as coach. His dad is a long time. His dad is practically a legend in Texas as well. 20 years as head coach of Longview High School. And that was the first state championship he had won when Haynes was quarterback as a junior. There's a tweet in the story of a television interview on the field after they won the state championship. And Haynes is just bawling, trying to explain the emotions of winning the state championship, the Texas state championship, with his dad. So, yeah, Haynes was great. Chris Wenke is a quarterback's coach / offensive coordinator for Georgia Tech, co-offensive coordinator. And he recruited him, tried to recruit him when Wenke was at Tennessee. Of course, King went to Texas A&M. Was injured a little bit, eventually got replaced by Connor Wegman, hit the transfer portal after 3 years after he graduated, and landed at Georgia Tech last year, won the job, and had a good year. He had 27 touchdown passes, but he led the Power 5 quarterbacks in interceptions with 16, which is a low number to lead the Power 5 quarterbacks. That just shows you how efficient college passers have become. If 16 picks in 13 games is the number one.
They don't take a lot of risk, you know, in general. Right. And then, yeah. So, I mean, I think he's good.
He's really good runner too. Like you mentioned, like he's tough. And, you know, there are people around Georgia Tech are like, he's like the second fastest guy on the team. Like he's big and he'll take guys on. And the coaching staff's trying to, you know, warn him not to do that all the time so he doesn't get hurt. But he's got more speed than you think. He's a long strider. He really lit up North Carolina last year in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, he had that game-winning touchdown pass against Miami. That was such a thriller from 40 yards with 1 second to go in the game. So, yeah, yeah, I'm excited about Haynes, and that's why we did the story. He's kind of like a well-kept secret right now, but he might not be for long.
I agree. And then the other thing that stood out on your list, to me at least, was the triangle quarterbacks, you know, NC State, Duke, and North Carolina, all new guys. Max Johnson and Grayson McCall. Funny story. My college roommate, I talk about him all the time, Ben Grobe. He was Jim Grobe's son. He'd walk on at Ohio University, played special teams. He's actually neighbors. So his dad, Jim, coached at Wake Forest. Well, the McCalls are his neighbors. So he said, I might have to put on an NC State shirt, but just for 1 year, because Grayson's playing there. I think he's played a lot of football. I've always liked his game, very efficient. And then Malik Murphy to Duke. So all three triangle quarterbacks counting on a transfer guy to lead them this season in the ACC. And all three of those programs will be competitive.
Yeah, yeah. Malik Murphy is going to be a fun one to watch. One more I want to talk about before we can wrap up the ACC guys is a guy we watched very closely. The whole nation watched very closely last year. What do you think Kyle McCord's going to be able to do at Syracuse? The talent level is going from here way down to here, but he put up pretty good numbers last year. And like I said, he was in the spotlight. He's going to be an interesting one to watch.
His career is going to be tied to whatever Ohio State does this year, because Ohio State says we're doing the Big Ten next week. They, as people will see in their spring game, they're still sorting out quarterback. But Devin Brown and Will Howard and Julian Sayin and a lot of options in Columbus. But I think McCord will actually thrive in this role at Syracuse, where a little bit different pressure level being the quarterback at Syracuse versus being the quarterback in Ohio State, where they're still talking about him in terms of that last drive against Michigan. It's crazy up here that you get everything. I try to tell you this all the time, that everything's tied to the Michigan game. And, you know, they had the ball, they had their chance. Kyle McCord had a nice season there, and he won the starting job. And he was in the unenviable position of following who? Dwayne Haskins, first-round pick. C.J. Stroud, first-round pick, rookie of the year. Justin Fields, a first-round pick who gets new life in Pittsburgh. It's tough when you're the guy that doesn't do that. I mean, and to your point on your rankings, Bill, Cade Klubnik's kind of that guy too. So that follows all these legendary quarterbacks at the program. But I think McCord will do well. I don't know if he'll be like a 4,000-yard guy, but, I mean, I think I had that stat in the offseason. His single-season passing yards last year would be second all-time at Syracuse. So it's not like he's coming into a situation where he'll do poorly for them.
Right. What can they put around him? That's like the big question at Syracuse. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see. First-time coach. So we'll see about that. So anyway, I wanted to touch on, before we get out of here, even though this is a college football podcast, your experience in Cleveland covering Caitlin Clark for the weekend. Everybody was watching that game. My experience was Sunday. I had an event I had to go to. I went to a bar before I went to the event. The Iowa-South Carolina game was on, packed. I mean, it was like an NFL playoff game. And everybody was rooting for Iowa. And I think I told you, I remember feeling like this was like the Olympics. Like, people normally don't watch the, 200-meter freestyle relay or whatever, you know. But they really are into it during the Olympics only. I think people were watching an unfamiliar sport, but they were still passionate about it. And I'm telling you, 90% of the people were rooting for Iowa in the bar that I was in.
I was actually in a bar in Charlotte when Michael Phelps was doing his thing in a similar fashion. You mentioned the Olympics. It's a great comp because people were just cheering. I'm like, did he touch the wall first? I'm assuming he did, but he did his thing. He was great. And Caitlin Clark was definitely the story of this Final Four, but I think it deserves two. You know, South Carolina was not a villain here. It's not like Don Staley. She's an amazing coach, by the way. She would be good in college basketball, in men's or women's. She would be good in an NBA. She could coach any level. She's in that list of coaches I think could coach anywhere and do a good job. She's amazing. And that South Carolina team just had too much. But in terms of what people were following, yeah, it's Caitlin Clark. I was there at the media availability Thursday. She had a 45-minute breakout session. I talked to Bailey Turner, one of the Iowa, SIDs that he was the guy standing next to her during the session. He said, we've never had one of those. She handled it like Tom Brady would at the Super Bowl, like Travis Kelce would at the Super Bowl, like LeBron does every year when he's doing holding court. And it was precise. It was genuine. She's a Midwesterner. I gravitate toward that, obviously. And I mean, on the court, it's amazing. You can hear everybody like take that deep breath when she shoots one of those threes. It's quite a show. And I know they didn't win. And I'm not going to do the whole GOAT conversation because I don't think I'm qualified to talk about everybody in that conversation. But what she's done for the sport is pretty remarkable.
See, and in the aftermath, like, so much has been on her shoulders for so long. And to have that disappointment in front of millions of people, you know, how competitive she is. They come up short. They were winning early. Maybe she starts thinking they're going to win, whatever. They end up losing. And just like having to congratulate the other team and all this stuff. Like, I half expected her to just go into that press conference and be like, you know what? I just want to be in the locker room by myself right now. I just want to be by myself. And that's not how she was.
No, not at all. She was even better. Like, you know, like smiling through tough questions. And you can tell, I mean, nobody wants to answer that. Well, Caitlin, what's your legacy? Like 5 minutes after you've lost the biggest game of your life. You know, she handled it well. Her teammates, I mean, one of the other things, and her teammates were great. You know, Kate Martin, great around the, you know, Hannah Stolke, they're wonderful around the media. Caitlin Clark had four or five passes that you would just watch and see from where you were. And you're like, what, how? She sees the court like Magic Johnson does. That's not an exaggeration. She sees the court like, you know, just being able to do that. And, you know, that was a really fun Iowa team to be around. So it did remind me of 1993 when Ohio State played Cheryl Swoops in Texas Tech. Ohio State had a woman named Katie Smith, who's a legend around here. Very similar. She scored 28 in the title game. They just didn't have enough. It was a very similar team. But, you know, as far, and like I said, as somebody that coaches fourth grade girls, and I've told this story a couple times, but I'm in Columbus, had 10 girls on my team, all fourth grade girls, nine of them were rooting for Caitlin Clark. We had one holdout where I don't think her parents let her root for anybody but Ohio State. No, appreciate that. But that she definitely had an impact on them. So you're looking at 8, 9, 10 years from now, that wave is going to be the ones that say, Caitlin Clark was my hero growing up. And that's the impact she's had. And that goes far beyond how many titles did you win. Real quick question for you. What do you do in that UConn game? Well, at the end of the UConn-Iowa game, you're the ref. What do you do?
Initially, I did not think it was worthy of a whistle. But on replay, I think they got it right. And I think there was an advantage gained big time. And so, yeah, I think it was the right call. So,
yeah,
did you? Like,
yeah, I do both. I coach.
Like, it wasn't even close. Like,
yeah,
the rule is your feet are supposed to be shoulder width apart. And, you know, she stuck it out. She stuck her leg out. She knocked her off her, you know, her path to defend Beckers on the roll there. So, yeah, I would.
It was
a big advantage gained.
It was one where as a ref, I probably would have made the wrong call and swallowed it, the whistle. But I thought that Beckers, maybe she comes up as that a little bit sooner. Maybe they do this a little bit quicker because there was a lot of conversation among the writers that were there about this rescreen action and how to rescreen and those kind of things. So I think it was the right call at the end of the day. We get through all the debates. It's the right call. Super entertaining. Hope they continue to build on that. And we'll see. But Caitlin Clark certainly worth the price of admission. That was my biggest takeaway.
My favorite part of her game is her passing in transition, like you said. And I love the Iowa, her teammates know to just run to the rim, just sprint to the rim. They don't even look at her. They don't look at the ball. They just sprint to get down the court, and then they'll take a peek and expect the ball, and the ball will be there for this crazy layup or something. It's really fun to watch. That was that, you know, the Steph Curry shooting and all that. Of course, that's fun. But I loved watching her in transition, so that was really fun. So, all right, before we get out of here, SEC trivia question. Who finished second in touchdown passes behind Jaden Daniels last year?
I think I'm going to go Devin Leary.
Yes. Well done. I didn't think you would get that.
Well, it's just because the Kentucky roulette in those SEC – so they've gone Levis to Leary to, you know, the situation with Brock Vandegrift this year. So, yeah, Devin Leary. When you gave it away, I'll give myself half credit because I had to ask if it was returning or not.
It was.
I wouldn't have got that otherwise.
Daniels had 40. Then there was a 25, a 24, a 23, and a 23. So wow. Leary had 25, Beck 24, Dart 23, and Milrow 23, and Cook 21. So, yeah, I guess the only departed QB who threw 20 was Joe Milton, and right. He was right at 20. So, yeah, Devin Leary. And Leary also led the league in interceptions with 12. So, yep. Anyway.
Very good.
So, anyway, that was fun. Good show. Glad you're back from Cleveland. And we'll get back into some spring football coverage next week. Ohio State plays Saturday. Alabama plays Saturday. We'll talk about a little bit of the fallout from those games next week. Thank you to everyone for listening to the CFB Nation All-America Podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you to Irish Breakdown, your source for Notre Dame football information. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you soon.